Ready for roll.
Beazy?
Yes.
Jones Park?
Yes.
Maria Russell? Robert Mackey? Evelyn Pittsgard? Sarah Batiste? Deb Jepson? Mary Alice Short?
Yes.
Kevin Lawson? Debbie Salas?
Here.
Kayla Hansen? Nicole Wolfram?
Nicole, are you online?
Sorry, yes.
Okay. Can you hear, can you guys online hear Nicole calling roll?
It'll be faint.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move that a little bit then. We'll see if that's better.
Carolyn Simmons?
Here.
Debbie Coxon?
Here.
Gary Newman?
Here.
Jennifer Elhard? Louisa Hayes?
What have we been talking about for the last week?
Mary Sue Dates?
Present.
Claudia Coach? Brian Keel? Kim Eames? Heather Lavengood? Robin Winant?
I'm here online. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Thank you.
Jed Lowell?
Present online.
John Clendenin?
Here.
Jennifer Youngberg?
Here.
Walker Wheeler?
Present.
Brad Crick?
Here.
Kat Williams?
Here.
Jeanette Alt? Kat, are you here?
Yeah, sorry. Okay, not that fast of a button.
It's okay. Jeanette Altman? Travis Brinzo?
Ian.
Richard Machida?
Here.
Gary Bender?
Here.
Britton Anderson?
Here.
Is there anybody whose name I did not call?
So while Nicole's looking at, did somebody just join us?
I did. This is Evelyn. I'm sorry I'm late.
Good morning, Evelyn. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
While Nicole is looking over the names of people today and determining if we have quorum, we'll move on to the agenda. If everybody could take a look at the agenda, please.
Your quorum.
Thank you. The only suggestion I would like to make is that the chancellor will probably be here before 9:15, and I'd like to have your permission to put him in when he gets here. So he has a busy day. Any other changes or additions?
Do we have quorum?
We have quorum.
Cool.
Yep. We have a good quorum. So thank you, everybody, for being here and being online.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Any opposition to approving the agenda with the one minor change of bringing Chancellor Rogers in earlier? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the minutes. And thank you, Nicole, for getting all these together. So we'll start with the March minutes, please.
Move to approve March minutes. Second.
Would people like time to look at them, or are we okay to vote the March minutes? Okay, I'm not seeing a large number of hands going up to take more time, so is there any opposition to approving the March minutes? Great, March minutes approved, and we'll move on to April minutes. Anybody like more time to look at them? Very good. Okay. Any opposition to approving the minutes as they stand for April? Seeing none, we will move on to May.
I have some amendments to make.
Okay.
That people have let me know ahead of time.
Great.
Do they need to be out loud on the record, or?
Yeah, please. Okay. That would be helpful.
I need to fix the spelling of John Dean's name.
Okay.
Under 7B, the motion actually, the wording actually remained the same. It's three paragraphs up from the bottom on page 3. Everything after the comment in that last sentence will be removed, and it will be restated that the wording in the motion was not altered.
There's no change to the constitutional proposed change. So.
Okay.
There's no reason to have said, yeah.
Right.
Back to where we are on that. Under 7B, right under the motion related to the changes to the Constitution, there is an indentation that goes on to explain that we split it and considered it the second reading for the constitutional change.
In fact, the remedy was not altered.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
And there is another notice that our bylaws changes don't have to actually go to the chancellor, but we could CC him on the proposed changes if we need. When we had rewritten them last time, the whole idea behind minimizing what we had in the Constitution was so that we could make changes more rapid to the bylaws. So,
there you go. So we'll CC the chancellor on that. But
I don't have to ask him if he approves or denies our changes to the bylaws. That lies completely within this organization.
And I've removed the signature lines that were there.
Great.
On the one that's going to be signed. Then I will also be changing the word oblivious to obvious.
No.
You got all the ones I got. So.
No, that's okay. Somebody else got that one for me. under Win for Alaska. It was spelled right. It was just the wrong.
Excellent. Oblivious court. Okay.
Change that motion approved. The minutes of May 15th.
Second.
And do you have any other? Okay. Any opposition to approving the May staff council minutes? As amended. Thank you. Okay. Seeing none, we've approved all the minutes, and thank you for getting those up to Nicole.
Yeah, I apologize about the delay.
No, that's fine. And also wanted to thank Nicole for staying on an extra couple of days to get this meeting up and going and make sure we had everything that we need to for this meeting. So thank you for that, too, and we're glad you're here. Okay, so we'll move on to pending actions. We have none, and move to public comment. Is there anybody public who would like to say anything? Thank you for being here. Is there anybody online for public comment today? Okay. Then we'll move on to officers' report. I expect this to be a fairly short meeting. We're going to take all the time that we need, but I think the most important things today are our elections and making sure that our elections run well and smoothly and properly. So I appreciate you all being here. It's really nice to see everybody, and just it's great that we have such good attendance for an important meeting like this, even though it may be shorter. My president's report, I just sent out email, and there's hard copies in the back of the room. It's just a summary of the issues that we talked about and kind of an update on where we are with reorganization for staff council. I purposely left it short because we have lots of monthly summaries and annual summaries by all the groups and committees that have been working all year long. So I hope if there's something that I have not added in here that you'd like to see me add, please let me know and I can add that. But I think we've done a good job of addressing the challenges of this year, and I think some of them are going to be ongoing, as they seem to always be with staff council with the way we're organized. So things like health care and compensation just various topics that we've dealt with this year are going to be ongoing concerns for staff council, and I'm sure we'll hear about them in the future. I hope that the I hope that the reorganization continues forward, and I will be working as past president to help push that along next year. So if you have any questions or suggestions for other things you'd like to see in the president's report, please let me know. And I think, Joella, if you wouldn't mind waiting for a minute, and we could let Chancellor Rogers.
I can let Joella go first. We'll stay with
you. Okay. Well, thank you.
So I just have a couple of things to bring up for you all. Last week, Staff Alliance passed a motion that should be on the president's desk asking for a 5.5% placeholder in the budget projection for FY14. Where that is, how this works, and is that with that number, then there'll be discussion, no doubt about it. But that came from Staff Alliance as 5.5 as the starting point for compensation increase for FY14. And now they will spend the summer working the budget and having discussions and come out in August and September to the Board of Regents with their budget, their draft budget request, and the Regents review, and then approve eventually. So just so you're aware, that's the number the Staff Alliance has asked the President to consider at this point. And I'm assuming I'll have more conversations over the summer. Staff Alliance's retreat in August is where the officers are elected. So I'll serve as Chair of Alliance until August. I'm also, another thing that's going on over the summer is the Healthcare Task Force. I sent out the announcement for that last week, welcoming the 11 members, six of which were appointed by the three chancellors, and we are still in the process. We have a doodle poll for our first audio. Hopefully, I had hoped it would be this week, but it might be next week for our first audio, and then we'll divide up the work and get moving. That is off to a very painfully slow start, that task force. There's been some missteps. But my hope is that once we get the ball moving, then we can get out of the way and get the work done. Again, as I told you, and as a reminder, this was to be a task force of faculty, staff, and administration, one-time task force to put information together, thinking outside the box for solutions, bring those in August or September to the healthcare, the Joint Healthcare Committee and to President Gamble, and then dissolve. So I think that's everything with that. At the statewide level, really the only thing that's ongoing over the summer that is healthcare and then the budget, putting together the budget request. Any questions? All right. Thanks. And I will, as the summer goes, as there are developments, it's my intent to ask statewide for a web page for the healthcare task force to keep everyone up to date on what's going on there and the information that we're putting together. But as we go along, I'll be sure and communicate as much as I can.
Thanks, Joelle. Well, thank you for trekking up the hill, Chancellor Rogers.
Sure, happy to be here, and congratulations on everyone finding today's way of getting here. I think we may have set a new record for the amount of dirt moved in a single year on the campus, I recognize the challenge it's been for everyone, both getting around and finding parking over the course of the summer. Hopefully, everything gets buttoned up by August, and we're back in good shape. But this won't be the last of our construction efforts. Yesterday, we did our first look at cabinet at the FY14 capital budget request, just as we're starting to develop issues. And you know, there's more to come. The most significant this next year will be the beginning of construction of the new engineering building. The new engineering essentially connects Duckering and Bunnell buildings with a really neat new front area that essentially allows mixing for students between the School of Management, College of Engineering and Mines, some great display space for engineering, but it will disrupt the campus for a period of time, including the closure of the road around the edge there for during the construction period for safety reasons. That's going to require some adjustment in the summer of 2013, the 13-14 school year, and the summer of 14. And hopefully then we're done with the kind of traffic disruptions that we've seen the last couple of years. We'll also be coming back to the legislature asking for more deferred maintenance money, specific research projects. This year was the first we'd ever had the legislature actually funding research projects in the capital budget, recognizing that the federal government is no longer spending quite as much on research, and there are specific state needs. We had money for ocean acidification and for unmanned aerial systems, both included in the capital budget. We'll do that again. And then finally, the planning and design for the new heat and power plant would be in next year's request. But one other thing that will construction that we expect will be commencing next summer is a public-private partnership to expand the Wood Center for dining. It will essentially become the dining facility for all students, replacing Lola Tilly Commons. And it's in addition to the south and west of the existing Wood Center. We met with a team yesterday, and things appear to be proceeding quite well on that. A pretty exciting addition to that facility. We haven't yet started on operating. The Planning and Budget Committee is just finishing up its work, so at the cabinet level, haven't looked at that yet, but reviewed yesterday with Michelle Rizik the assumptions for the FY14 budget. And I think it's going to be a tight year in 14. The President and Board of Regents are really looking at minimizing the tuition increase for 14. I wouldn't be surprised to see it come in at the policy level. Essentially, the board has a policy that says tuition increases will be the average of inflation for the last 3 years unless they make a decision other than that. Well, they've made a decision other than that for the last but this year I think they might very well head in that direction, which would be about a 2% tuition increase, would be the smallest we've had in over a decade. That won't leave us a whole lot of funds, since the legislature has sort of adopted this idea that we have to come up with half the money ourselves for pay raises or increases. That's going to make it, I think, a tight year. And much as I think we'll hear from the governor, much the same thing, the kind of hold-the-line approach that he's taken, which probably means not a lot in the way of new programs in the 14 budget. I want to thank Pips and Joella. They've met with me every month over the course of the year to let me know what staff issues are out there. I think it's been a really good relationship over the past year, and I appreciate the staff council's work to think about how you can be most effective in terms of representing staff and in communicating with staff over the year. I appreciate those committees that have done written reports on a regular basis, because it allows me to keep up in more depth on what you're doing, and especially want to note the Elections Membership and Rules Committee, really thorough work by that committee. Clearly, we've had challenges this year on pay and benefits, and I think that's made it a difficult year. But I've got to say, every time I meet with presidents of other institutions, and I did with a group last week on hockey-related issues, we've got it pretty good here compared with many other states where they've had pay freezes going on for 4 years, where they've had pay reductions, where they've had state budget reductions in the 25, 30, 40% range. Our legislature and governor have treated us fairly well, thanks to the luxury of high oil revenues, and hopefully that keeps going for a while. Finally, the Staff Appreciation Day, I really want to thank Staff Council again for helping make that a success. I really enjoyed the open session, and we'll continue to do that. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions members of Staff Council may have.
I'd be interested in hearing a little more about the unmanned aerial systems that you're talking about, the development that the state's going to fund for that, because I was under the impression that the military contracted with UAF to bring in 170 unmanned aerial vehicles for them to research and study, so I was curious about the tie-in to it.
So the work that UAF's been doing on unmanned aerial systems is looking at how to take primarily the smaller scale UAVs and develop instrumentation for a wide variety of civilian uses. And really, you know, a lot of the work with drones in the military sphere, the focus of the work has been on military operations. The question really is, what are potential civilian uses? How do you develop instrumentation that works at a smaller and smaller basis so you have more lift capacity, more range on them? And so our researchers have done everything from, you know, pinpointing where the fire line is, fire and the smoke and nobody can fly, and nobody knows where the fire line is other than that, or detecting fisheries violations from offshore fishing ships where we can see the deck from 2 miles away, the work in the icebreaker in to tell them where the pressure ridges were, to work on the outer continental shelf, identifying where the seals, walruses are, et cetera. And so it's really coming up with new applications and then coming up with the instrumentation to do it. There's one I was told about recently that's working on a system that could fly over all the roads in a local government and tell you where all the potholes are based on remote sensing and grade the potholes in terms of which ones need fixing first, which could be a really useful local government application. So there are a lot of potential uses. We're doing some work with DOD on it. This is really much more focused on how do we ensure that Alaska has prominence in the industry, and it's probably not going to be in building the UAVs themselves, but more on the instrumentation and packages that go with it. Senator Mark Begich went to the legislature and said, Alaska has a great opportunity. You need to fund UAF to work on it. Give them $5 million. And the legislature said, sure, which we were quite pleased with. So we had not made our own request, either of Senator Begich or of the legislature, but they recognized some value there. And it's, you know, the work that Greg Walker and team have done at Poker Flat. Others have come up with the hardware and software to make it work. And I think there's likely to be a multi-billion-dollar industry worldwide out there, and the question is, does Alaska have a role in it? The one other thing we're trying to do is to help in the development of an additional mission for Eielson Air Force Base that would be a primary site for unmanned aerial systems R&D for the military and potentially civilians, which help in terms of the community effort to hold on to Eielson Air Force Base.
Well, just wondering, when we were talking about the 2%, roughly the 2% for tuition increases, and then the fact the legislature only wants to fund 50% pay raises or whatever, would that be perhaps a negotiating bargain? Said, look, we're trying to hold this down, fund it.
That is a good idea. We have not yet. I mean, we've been much more focused, I think, on the public concern over the debt level that students are taking on and the essentially hyperinflation of tuition nationally. And, you know, Alaska, I wouldn't call it hyperinflation, but significant. And I think that would be a very good way of presenting to say, we'd like to hold the line at 2%, but we'd like you to match us as if it was a 4% or something like that would be an approach that we could take, and I will take that to the president. Let me just close with one thing, if there aren't any other questions, and that is, as we try to raise the profile of safety on the campus and throughout UAF, I'd encourage the staff council to do as we do in my cabinet, and that is to open every meeting with a safety minute, not just where are the exits, which is a good thing to know for any meeting you are, but what incidents have people, you know, often in that, if somebody has a story about something they saw today or had happened in the last day or two, every time we talk through those and say, what could we do to avoid it, that helps instill a culture of safety around here. Now, sometimes the stories, you know, we had last week at Cabinet, we'd had a lost time accident, and I, talking with the person who was injured, she said, well, if I had not been watching the construction going on, I wouldn't have stepped off and hurt my ankle. So the warning today is watch where you're walking, don't watch the construction, I guess. Sometimes it's a little funny. It wasn't funny for her when she hurt her leg, but, you know, it is thinking about safety. We have to be thinking about it all the time, and I think I talked before, Fort Knox made 4 million hours without a lost time injury. We've never come close to that. That's certainly an environment where we're more like one would think you'd be more likely to have an injury than our environment. But if we can keep working on that, Debbie.
I was trying to comment this morning watching the construction people that are doing the bypass up the hill. Do we hold the other outside contractors accountable for their safety plan? Because I noticed that one of their workers was using a piece of equipment and not using the proper PPE. He didn't have any protection.
Interesting. They are supposed to maintain a safe work environment. If we have anybody inspecting there, I suspect we tell them. But beyond that, John, I don't know if you know if we hold them to it.
It's been a kind of a sticking point with DDC for many years as far as trying to, for our office, to stay away from contractors where realistically we shouldn't be holding them accountable. But it's been kind of hands off unless we see something that's in imminent danger or life threatening.
You know, generally, private industry, I think, does a better job, particularly in the larger businesses, a better job of instilling that culture of safety than we have. And one of the reasons I want to do it is I think if our students get regular exposure to that, when they go out into the workforce, they're going to be recognized for having been through, you know, the same kind of culture that a BP or a Fort Knox or others would have. We're a long way from that today, but I will follow up with DDC on that issue of contractors as well, because much as, you know, on the North Slope, the contractors are held to high standards by the majors, and if you don't have a culture of safety as a subcontractor, you're no longer a subcontractor.
I believe our new DDC director would be much more susceptible. I've had the discussions.
Good.
More than willing to put that direction.
Well, something you would put in your contract.
Yeah.
Have some little bit of teeth.
Is there?
Well, thank you, Jeff Rose,
thank you.
For coming up today, and thank you for, you know, regularly being at our meetings and spending the time with me and Joelle.
I'll be here. If I'm in town, I'm here.
Appreciate it. And we really
although next year we've got several meetings. Your meetings are now scheduled. The president now schedules his cabinet meetings on Tuesday mornings at the same time as staff council. So I may want to ask you to look at your calendar a little bit next year. It's easier for me to ask you to change than to get him to. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to the report. Jennifer, are you online? Okay. And Mari, are you online? And can people hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear all.
I wasn't necessarily expecting either Jennifer or Mari today, but I just wanted to make sure they're not in the room.
We had some people, I think, joined.
We did.
Great. Okay, thanks, Gary. Who was not here for a roll call this morning online?
Deb Jepson.
Deb Levins.
Sarah.
Did you get? We heard Deb Jepson. Who was after
Deb Levins.
She's just listening. Okay.
And Sarah Batiste.
Okay, so we will move on to president and vice president elections. Let's, in the way we've always done it, is to do presidential elections first, and I'm going to have Walker lead this, but just to make sure that we're all on the same page. I think the two people running for president are Gary and Duella. I just want to make sure that that's correct before we go any further. Those are the two names that I have on the spreadsheet.
Yes.
Okay. So, can we start with a statement from each of them?
Yes.
Okay. Gary?
Well, it's kind of interesting being in this room because this is the room where I first started with the GI Staff Council roughly 12 years ago. And, it's been an interesting run, and I feel like it's probably time that I offer some of my...
I'm having a hard time hearing Gary online. You can speak more into the mic, please.
We will fix that. We'll move the mic.
The UAV to bring the mic. Sorry. What I was saying is that in this the GI Globe Room where we're at now was the place where I actually started with Staff Council, the Geophysical Institute, which had their own Staff Council, and that was roughly 11, 12 years ago. I've served on Staff Council for almost that long, and feel like it's probably about time I step up and try to offer myself. I've had a chance to talk to many of you, find out what your concerns are. When I was an apprentice working for the telephone company, some of that time was actually at the university. I was taught by my journeyman to always leave something cleaner than when you found it when you get to a job site, and I would hope to do the same thing on Staff Council. I said last time when we started the presidential elections that it's not a job that I think I or and with the vice president can do alone. It takes all of you, and I would hope to fully engage you and facilitate everybody getting involved. And so I'll close with that.
Thanks, Gary.
Yep.
Thank you.
Is it a Q&A type, or?
What do you think, Walker?
We can have that if you like. But I'd like to hear it. So okay. Are there any questions for Gary before we move on to
So for those of you online, I don't know if you heard Walker, but we're opening questions for Gary right now. Both of us have worked with Gary for a while, so we know Gary.
It seems that there are none, so let's move on to our second candidate.
Walker, this is Mary Sue. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Mary Sue.
Okay, I just have one question. For Gary, as Duella has been president before, what do you think that you bring to the table that's different from Duella?
We're a different sex. That may mean something. I'm not being totally flip. It's in that we probably have a different approach. Duella and I have worked together for a long time, and I think we both bring good things to the table. In my case, I think I'm at the point now where I think it's probably helpful for me to bring my experience in working with Staff Council forward to be able to share that with the governance groups, basically. You know, I've served as chair of EMR and kind of ad hoc chair and chair of different committees, and it just seemed the next logical step to be able to offer the sense of perspective. One thing that is very strong, not necessarily the contrast with Joella, but I do have a pretty strong record of trying to increase transparency, and not just with Staff Council, with a number of external groups. Golden Valley is one of them, and you might have read recently that the president has resigned over some issues that could have been avoided if he'd been a little more open about things, I believe. And in ways of the university is a funny institution. It's not a business. We operate with a lot of deliberation, a lot of consultation. Governance is an important part of that. And I think raising that profile for me is one of those things where we can be more effective if those around us, from the president's office on down, kind of imbue that culture.
Okay.
So
How that contrasts with how Joella would do things, I'll leave that to you folks to figure that out. You've had a chance to work with both of us for a number of years.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for the question.
So are there any other questions for Gary? Excuse me. Okay. Seeing none, we'll open the floor for Joella's statement.
Okay. Actually, I really hadn't planned on this. Let's see. I guess the biggest thing that I bring to the table is I have a good working relationship with the current administration, both the Chancellor and President Gamble. When I served as President, Brian was coming into the office as Chancellor, and I had the luxury of working with him there. And then again this year, I think one of my strengths is that I learn from everyone that I work with. So I, of course, learned a great deal from Kate Pipps. I've again learned a great deal from her, and I tend to be antsy. Let's get it going. Let's get some work done. And Pipps has been a great stabilizer for that for me. So again, I think it really boils down to experience. I'd love to continue the work that I've done and started at the statewide level in, of course, the Healthcare Task Force, which will end at the end of the summer, but also in my discussions with President Gamble about governance. I think that's our biggest challenge right now with this administration is they don't appreciate the value of governance. And I'd like to keep pushing that. I've pushed it in all of my testimony to the Board of Regents, both in their binders for the meeting and then face-to-face. And I think we are facing a time when there are a lot of potential challenges with this coming year's legislature and their budget. And I want the opportunity to be there to remind the President and the Board of Regents that staff has a role here as well. I'd like to keep pushing the message that it's time for them to value their people as much as they value their new programs and their new capital projects and so on. How about taking a pause from that and valuing your people? I think that's the experience and then vision and a working relationship with the current administration is what I bring to the table.
Are there questions for Joella to follow up?
Is there anyone online who has questions for follow-up? Hearing none. Nicole, could you please pass out the ballots?
And should we leave?
I have one question.
Okay.
Sorry. Who are the candidates for the? I know we're doing them separate, and mm-hmm. I could have found this out before.
No,
who are the VP candidates? We'll
just confirm this, but I think it's Claudia and Ashley, who is out of town right now. Ashley Monroe. Good question.
Thank you.
And so I think, Walker, the online folks are going to email Nicole directly. Is that right?
Correct. So online folks,
would you like us to leave
please send your nominations to
Infinitifer.
Is that? Spell that out for them. And I will, let's see, you still get a vote, but you don't in this one, I believe, is the case.
I'm sorry, who do we send our vote to if we're online?
To Nicole.
Okay, thank you. And do we just vote for the President right now?
Yes, we're just voting for President right now.
Thank you.
And just as a little note, Jennifer Reynolds from Faculty Senate was here, and I'm going to email her when we're getting close to the end of elections, and she's going to come back. Her office is next door, so we haven't told her to go away.
Quite a paper cutting exercise.
Not long. All right.
No hanging chads here.
No, just want someone to verify for us.
Oh, yeah, so I'm excited. Pretty interesting.
We do now? Or we do it one at a time?
Trouble placed.
We should probably just wait for the next.
Yeah.
We're cutting. Fair number of times I might walk around the office and go, you know, most of my job is actually spent cutting paper.
Is it really?
Drawing on, not most. But, you know, I thought.
I got efficient paper.
They're not very good. Because I wasn't very good at grade school and kindergarten. I wasn't very good at cutting in straight lines, drawing in straight lines. And yet I actually have to do that as part of my job.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Hello?
Someone turned the MR right on, have to help kill it.
For those of you online, we are, I think we're counting, are we counting ballots, Walker? I think
we're not counting yet.
Okay.
We're going to go to there, have already asked.
Great, okay.
Richard to join in the Thompson.
Great,
conference.
Okay.
Pips, this is Heather Levengood. I'm sorry, I just joined in. Are we doing the election now?
Hey, Heather, we are. We just voted for president. And
okay.
The emails are being looked at, and then they're going to count ballots and total tally things.
Oh, can I send in an email real quick?
You may send an email to Nicole.
Okay.
The two candidates, I don't know if you heard this part, are Gary Newman and Juella Sparks.
Okay, and this is for president.
This is for president. We'll do vice president after this election.
Okay, should I send it to Nicole or FY staff?
No, to me.
To or Nicole.
By chat it works too.
You can either chat or the NMDU4 email.
Okay, I'll send it in just 1 second.
Okay.
And then
you.
I'm going to put you back on mute because I have sick kiddo here, so I'll be on mute.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Oh, sure.
So is everybody here still on contract now, or are people coming from summer break?
Stuck here, I.
Wait.
You get to take off your headset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, get off.
Thank you.
So, Richard, can you join me right now? And Kayla, can you join me?
I move to change the location of our next meeting
to outside.
September, so be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Can I verify the representatives that I have online? I have Evelyn, Nicole, Robin, Jed, Gary Bender, Sarah, Deb Jepson, Heather, and Mary Sue. Did I miss anybody?
Kat Williams.
Okay, thanks, Kat.
Second round, Vice President. Claudia, could you please, one of them, could you please say some words for why you think you'd make a good Vice President? And don't worry, I don't believe Ashley Monroe is on the phone, so.
Yeah, I think Ashley's out of town right now, so
okay.
We'll probably just have Claudia, unless Ashley has joined us via telephone from somewhere. I haven't heard her yet, and I know, I'm pretty sure she's out of town.
Actually a funny story because everybody had trouble getting the supervisor's approval. My supervisor nominated me.
actually. She came in one day and said, I nominated you for vice president.
I said, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And he said, well, if you don't want to do it, just tell him you didn't get supervisor approval. I thought that was kind of funny. So I'm pretty new to the university. It's like my first thing. I've been here 13, 14 months, but I like being involved, like learning more about stuff. I have a master's degree in political science from the University of Heidelberg in Germany. Not that it helps anything, but has a lot to do with the governance process. And like I said, I like being involved, I like to learn more, and I think Joella would be a great person to work with to get me up to speed. I'm a pretty fast learner, and I would love to do it.
Are there any questions for Claudia? Are there any questions online for Claudia? All right, hearing none in either. I'll take one more survey of the room. Any indications? All right. So since Ashley isn't able to be here to give a presentation, we'll just move directly onto the ballots. Both can we hand them out? Those online, it's going to be the same drill as we just did. Oh, sorry.
Is it possible for somebody to give us a little bit of a breakdown on
Ashley,
so that we know a little bit about her?
I don't know nearly enough, but if there's anyone who would like to step up for that, I encourage them to do so now.
Sure. I've worked with Ashley off and on in governance only. She's obviously, she's been the lead on Staff Appreciation Day, the organization efforts, and so on. She's been very active from minute one with Staff Appreciation Day. I also engaged staff representative and a person that cares about the university. That's really all I'm comfortable saying.
She's been on the Staff Appreciation Day committee 2 years in a row, I believe, and she's put vast quantities of hours into it to make sure both events that we've had the past 2 years have been really, really successful, and it seems that they've been building. She's also, I believe, works in the financial aid office, unless I'm a little off. So she interacts with students on a daily basis, and she gets to see some of those direct impacts of things like tuition changes and how short or not short a student's going to be because they do or don't have the sufficient financial aid to continue their education. So she can give that sort of perspective. But that's, I mean, my limited knowledge.
Thank you.
I wish I knew what you guys would say if I wasn't here.
Can you please pass out the ballots? For those of you online, we have Claudia and Ashley as our two candidates. Please, just like you did a moment ago, send a message to Nicole to inform her of your choice for vice president. Would you be so kind as I would? Okay.
okay. We're tallying for the best.
And then I get to meet.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You and Doug will be the first people. I'm looking for breaking news for that council.
And you know what?
Not long enough.
No. Well, seriously, how long have you been at this?
6 years.
So Jennifer, somebody that I don't know.
What did you do before?
Before here?
Before here.
Yeah, there's a lot of them over here. Been a safety officer for nearly 20 years. Down in Arizona is where I lived. I lived down in Arizona, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
All my safety stuff was down in Arizona.
Yeah.
As far as nursing, I was licensed.
Yeah.
Arizona, Utah, Idaho.
They don't do the nursing anymore?
No, I keep up my license in actually one state now, but I haven't done it for a long time.
Right.
I ran an occupational health department at the hospital for a while. Worked with the department.
How did you end up here then?
I lived in Oregon and kind of reconnected with a girlfriend from college. We dated back in college. We got along great, and we were just going in different directions. Both ended up and went and got married, and then ended up getting divorced. We met up and been married for like a couple of years now.
Oh, cool.
So I came to Alaska periodically, and right after we got together, then came and never left.
Well, yeah.
So after 18 years of not having any communication, we just got back together and picked up right where we left.
I don't read all that.
That's pretty cool.
Does she work for
university? Mm-hmm. She works for Interrelations Campus, the Harper Building on Geist. She deals with financial aid.
Wait, we thought something was happening. Oh, you have a friend. The mosquito. Kill him.
I've been making friends.
I ran around in my garden last night. I got them.
Oh, yeah, they were bad last night. They were.
And those annoying little gnat ones.
Oh, the little biting flies?
Yeah.
Do not let them bite you.
They're really teeny, like gnats.
Yeah, and they actually take a chunk of flesh.
Well, I wonder if that's what that was.
Does it itch?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's what it is. That's what it is. And that's why you shouldn't let them bite you. It will itch.
It's like crazy. Which is way worse than the mosquito bite.
Yep.
Way worse.
It's the little flies.
Oh.
You don't feel them bite you.
No, I didn't. It's like hours later, I was like, what is this? You know, and so as you can see, I have been rubbing it, trying not to scratch it, but all around it.
Hot water.
Hot water?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed it's
never hot water. It's a great job.
Okay.
It's amazing.
I tried actually covering it with a Band-Aid. That didn't help either.
Yeah.
It does work.
Okay.
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 Well,
yeah, it could be done.
I've stuck my water.
What's that? Is it calamine? That's an anti-itch stuff?
That pink stuff?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I should get some of that.
I haven't seen that since I was a child. Parents used to bring it out. Really to keep us from scratching our bloody.
Not sure.
No, you should. I've known you long enough. A, you should do it, and B, we want you to do it. So our president,
well,
Dave Valentine, do you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wish we had the luxury
mean, I like how you are able to separate the union and the academic.
Yeah, you'll have a union, therefore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I know, for example, we announced, I announced to these guys 5.5% that we want our comp increase. Staff Alliance voted for it last week, and I'm just sitting right there.
Oh.
It's going to be a fun discussion.
We have concluded the counting of ballots for the vice president. And our successful candidate is Claudia Cook.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Well, congratulations to both of you, and I think we're going to be in good hands. And thank you, Gary, and Ashley, for both running. It's nice to have an actual election. So thank you. Thank you both for running, and congratulations. And with that, I will move on to the... I actually think I have the opportunity of handing this over to Joella, but she has politely declined. So I will finish the rest of the meeting and then pass the gavel to Joella. With that, we will. I'd like to introduce Jennifer Reynolds, who is the president of the Faculty Senate this year, and she is joining us to give us an update on the Faculty Senate issue.
So, hello, everyone. I'm in School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences. Gary and I are old friends, and I'm the new president of Faculty Senate. I've been president-elect last year and have been on Faculty Alliance for 2 years now already. So I've become used to this, I think. And I find it interesting, and I encourage you all to keep up with the staff council activities. The more you do, the more interesting it is. So the request to me was to review for you all what Faculty Senate is up to, especially topics that relate to the staff lives and activities. So the one that I think you might be particularly interested to know is that there is an effort that started in the Provost's Office and has come to Faculty Senate to institute an electronic faculty activity report system. And the purpose of this system is twofold. First, for the activity reports, which is essentially the faculty's performance report, right? As you can imagine, that contains a lot of personal things that are not public, as well as general activities that are public, like which classes did you teach. The university for a long time has wanted to mine those reports for data on university performance and unit performance by aggregating the information about a lot of faculty, but because these were confidential personnel file documents, it was very difficult to do that. The only way to do it was to have the dean's office in each college or school go through them one by one and extract specific kinds of information. And the information requests come all the time from statewide, the legislature, the chancellor's office, the provost's office, the governor, whoever. And so this has for years been a real labor cost and headache for the administration in the university. Faculty are sympathetic, but we also didn't want them making our personnel files public. So this year there was an effort run by Eric Madsen on behalf of the provost to look at the available programs, the software, commercial software or any software, available for this purpose. This is the second round of this effort. The first round was 5 years ago that ended in failure. This time there were two programs selected for detailed review, and the Faculty Senate participated in this all the way from the beginning this time, as in contrast to 5 years ago. And the Faculty Senate voted that one of the programs was acceptable and we would be interested in seeing a pilot test of it. So the reason I'm describing this to you is that it's likely the pilot test is going to happen either this fall or starting in the winter. And if it's successful, it may become active for the whole university the following year. The software that we chose is called Data 180, or Faculty 180, and the company is Data 180. This is commercialization of a piece of software that was written for Ohio State written by faculty, and we think that it's quite suitable for what the university needs. Yes?
Is this applied to all campuses or just?
Right now it's just UAF. The last time this was tried, it was run through Dan Julius's office and statewide. They chose a piece of software that the faculty thought was abysmal. At that point, they statewide contracted for a pilot that involved all three MAUs. This effort is being run out of the provost office at UAF only. If we like it and we adopt it, then it becomes actually quite likely that the other two campuses will look at it. The other reason that's likely is because Dana Thomas is now the Vice President for Academic Affairs, and he was heavily involved in this all the way through. So he's very familiar with it and is really hoping that it works. So this ideally will reduce the burden on the staff who have to collect all this information and produce these reports. There would be modular access to different parts of the database depending on either the position of the staff member or the individual. It can be the permission to access different parts of the database can be set up for specific individuals or for specific units or specific positions, like everyone who handles travel or something like that. So if it works, if the pilot succeeds and everyone's happy with it, you may be seeing this in the future, your own access to this database. Yes?
Who's going to control access to the database? Is it going to be retained by faculty senate, or is it going to be distributed with the provost? Determine who has access to what data?
This is a very serious thing. This would be authorized by the chancellor's office and the provost, because it involves personnel issues. But the thought is that because we can set up access in a modular way, there will be broad access to certain parts of the database. Who taught which courses last year, is an example of public information. So some things that are public would be widely accessible. Some things that are semi-public might be accessible to administrators within a particular college, so that, for example, the dean, staff, and a college can collect information about faculty outreach activities and determine which ones were done outside of Fairbanks. But that would be limited to the assistant to the dean in the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences. So there are ways to parse this that hopefully everyone will be comfortable with. And I think the faculty are pretty confident about this. The difficulty is that the access relies on the judgment of the administration, and we need to keep an eye on that.
That's what I meant.
Can I ask, because it crosses the HR realm,
mm-hmm.
is there a blessing necessary from the unions, from CBAs?
Not unless we grant access to people who don't already have access to the annual activity reports. And frankly, I think the faculty have no intention of doing that for the parts of the union that are not already public.
Okay.
And yeah, this is. I think we all sort of took a deep breath and said, "All right, we're going to do this." The university really needs to. It really does, and it could benefit the faculty, because right now the faculty get these requests repeatedly: send me this information in this format, send me slightly different information in this other format that this other person wants, and it just continues throughout the year. Some schools are much better about trying to extract the information themselves. SFOS is an example. I never get these requests from our dean, but other schools get them repeatedly because the dean's office sees no other way but then to pass on the requests down to the individuals and have the individual faculty extract the material, send it up to them. So this will benefit the faculty as well as the administration. And ideally, it would benefit the presentation of the university to the legislature and the public. So that's why we're in favor of it. But yeah, I mean, we're a little leery of some of these issues of how it's implemented. And part of why we're willing to go ahead right now is that we are confident in our relationship with Provost, with Dana Thomas, who's now running the statewide system, and with the Chancellor. We have a good relationship with them, and we're confident that they will work with us instead of rushing past us. Okay, so that was one topic. Others, I will just touch on what we've been looking at and not go into any detail. One that you know about, I think, was the tobacco no higher resolution that was passed unanimously by the Faculty Senate in April. That was adopted by the Faculty Senates in Juneau and Anchorage. They adopted ours word for word and said, second this. And I think that unanimous voice from the faculty had an impact. The resolution was one page long. You're all welcome to read it if you want.
May I ask, is it faculty's interpretation as well that this is on hold, that any tobacco changes or proposals are on hold
yes.
until after the task force? And
Our impression is that there is interest in statewide and perhaps in the UAF administration of doing something that has to do with discouraging tobacco use among the employees. The Faculty Senate feels that this is a, when this is inside the healthcare benefits realm, it's a collective bargaining issue and we leave it to the unions. When it went into the realm of who the university hires, that's a Faculty Senate issue. That's way beyond collective bargaining for the terms of employment of faculty. Who you hire in the university has a major impact on everyone, and it would have interfered with our ability to hire those from the groups of people who are heavier tobacco users than the university as a whole, namely the international faculty and researchers, and Alaska Natives. And we felt very strongly that the university should not be putting in effect policies that would interfere with our ability to hire from the Alaska Native communities, especially for the rural campuses. And we made those points in the resolution. And yes, it's our impression that the possibility of putting in a no hire policy is now gone, but there is still a wish to find some workable policy that would actively discourage tobacco use, and I don't know where that's going to go. And then other topics the faculty have been dealing with mainly have to do with academic programs, the organization of the Faculty Senate, faculty performance evaluation. Two that I'll just mention are the issue of distance delivery of science labs. This is a statewide faculty issue right now, and the UAF faculty were asked to look into it. It's now gone back to the Statewide Faculty Alliance. This is something that will continue next year. There is not a formal policy yet, but there's a draft proposed policy. As you all know, online delivery of classes is a growing topic, and how you deal with something that is literally a hands-on activity by distance delivery is a real controversial topic. So faculty are looking at that. There's a proposal to have Alaska join the Complete College America program, which is a national program that I believe was started by the Gates Foundation. I look at it as the sort of a higher education equivalent to No Child Left Behind. It's a one-size-fits-all program that tries to force institutions to follow what are described as best practices that are supported by research. One of those, for example, a big one that the program is pushing this year is to eliminate developmental education, or as they call it, remedial education, and give students who needed that some extra tutoring, but mainstream them into the regular classes with extra tutoring. And if they cannot handle that, then they should be directed toward vocational programs and not academic programs.
We think this is a very bad idea, especially for Alaska, for many reasons. But that's an example of the type of thing that is in this program. And if Alaska signs up for it, it would be the governor and the legislature signing us up for it. The university doesn't do that. It's the state government that does it. And the program says we are one size fits all. If you sign up, you do everything that we prescribe. So we think this is a very dangerous thing, and we're trying to derail it.
Which groups are pushing that?
The governor's office is very interested. What happens is the Complete College America people go to the governor's office in the different states, and they go to sympathetic legislators in the legislature and say, you should adopt this. You have the leverage over your state higher education, and you are the ones who can force them to do these things that they are reluctant to do. So it comes through the governor and the legislature.
Within the university, then, of this person?
No.
Okay. No.
But so what are the benefits supposed to be?
They get money.
The goal of the program is to get students to graduate at a higher rate and to graduate quickly, and which means that they push the four-year graduation, and they try to reduce the number of credits necessary for graduation. There are a lot of things that they do to try and get students to finish the degree and finish quickly. Because those are the main goals, once you start down that road, then it leads you to, anyway, I don't want to get into the details, but we think it's not a good idea.
So what sense of timing do you have on that whole issue? I mean, do you have a sense that there's a real interest in it? And that
the Faculty Senate voted unanimously against it. There's a one-paragraph resolution with six bullets and 2.5 pages of discussion of why the Faculty Senate opposed this. The Faculty Senates in Juneau and Anchorage did the same with much shorter statements. And then the Faculty Alliance passed this on to the President Gamble and to the Board of Regents. It went to the Board of Regents in the June meeting, and I wasn't there, so I don't know what their response was. President Gamble has to deal with the governor on this, and we have been trying to give him ammunition to help him get a good resolution on this. Gamble himself is not advocating that we sign up for it. The public statement is that we support many of these goals. We do not think the program is a good fit for Alaska. So it may come to a head in the fall. If it actually comes into being, it's going to have a huge impact on the university, but we don't think it will. Yeah. Any other major ones? Code of conduct. We saw that you all were dealing with it. Faculty Alliance saw that you all were dealing with it and said, okay, we think that we have way too much to do. Staff council looks effective. We will leave this to them and see if they can be effective. And in fact, by the time we had time to catch our breath and actually look at what we would do, it was already fading away. And so we thank you for stepping up and dealing with it. We would have if you didn't, but we really didn't have time either. So thank you.
So any questions for Jennifer?
Is Kathy Cahill the incoming Faculty Alliance chair?
Kathy Cahill is chair of the statewide Faculty Alliance this year. She's been on Faculty Alliance 3 years already, so she's very experienced. She knows President Gamble. She knows the administrators. If you all have questions or requests, do contact her. Yeah.
I was curious about the Complete College America program. It sounds kind of like admission requirements without calling them admission requirements. Does that seem accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what it does is without it, you're saying, without actually putting in admission requirements, it means that certain people are going to fail.
You're cutting people out to improve your metrics.
Yeah.
And they won't be, and they're not going to be part of the college. They'll be vocational or, you know.
To be fair, it's the purpose
behind the Complete College America is probably not to improve metrics. Their motivations are, and I think this is somewhat naive, okay, rather than evil. Their motivations are to get students to graduate, get them to graduate more quickly, and to graduate with less debt. And the way you have less debt is you do it more quickly. This is their line. And so they think that if someone goes into a university without the skills and aptitude and preparation that they need, they shouldn't be there. And what they're trying to do is by tracking them into vocational education, they assume that the person is prepared for that sort of education, and that's what they should be doing rather than wasting their time and their money in regular academic work. And so the way it's presented is that this is for the benefit of the student, and it's the university administrations and faculty who are being stubborn about this and are protecting their turf and are being reactionary and refusing to change. And so the thing that needs to happen is that you need to force the administration and the faculty to change in the interest of the students. That's how this is presented.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that, I think we're going to move on and try to get caught up a little bit. Thank you very much.
Sorry it took so long.
No, yeah. Thank you for coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it. So let's move on to our next item of unfinished business, and that's the staff council's strategic direction proposal update for EMR. I imagine that you guys probably haven't met.
We've met once,
okay.
And I think we talked about this in pre-staff. I failed to get another meeting scheduled. Sorry, guys. To discuss and get more down on paper about it, so my apologies there.
No, you guys have had a lot on your plate the last couple months, so I understand. And do you want to talk about staff alliance update?
I believe everything is in place in that, and it's concluded. The amended, I believe that's actually in your court right now to sign off on the resolutions related to changes to the Constitution and bylaws.
Yeah, I know Nicole has the paperwork here for me today, so, and we'll see the chance.
One step, make sure that all members of staff council get a copy of the revised bylaws.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we, out of curiosity, can we update the website and send everyone the link so they can see the current one?
However, it gets
okay.
just so that people are working off the most current copy.
No, I
and
completely
do you
understand.
Access to that locker?
To update it, no.
Okay, so it may be something that happens in the fall because Nicole is on contract today.
You know, it would be my hope that we could work that out.
Sure.
Some more hours, apparently. But so how to get that uploaded?
Yeah, no, that's okay.
We can talk about it. About story.
Yeah.
So healthcare update. I think Joella gave an update on where the task force is. If there's any other questions, or if anybody from healthcare wants to say anything.
One thing to think about is our membership on the staff healthcare committee, and currently we have Kat, Carolyn, Maria is an alt, and Mary Sue is an alt. You all need to be prepared for a heavy fall on that committee because there's two things happening. Of course, the recommendations from the task force, but also I'm trying to think of the right word, but essentially all of our vendor contracts are up for review and renewal, and so hopefully, you know, GHCC has an active voice in those, and then that trickles to the staff healthcare committee. So just as a heads up on that.
The employee tuition benefit update. Did you talk about it?
Yeah, we did. Actually, PIPS worked with Monique, the vice chair of Staff Alliance, to do a write up with remaining concerns about the down in the details on the latest proposed changes from President Gamble on the employee tuition benefit. I signed off on that, and it's been put on the president's desk. So. And I think that's not attached.
I didn't see it.
It is.
Oh, the letters.
229-5.
That's the letter from Joe, or to Joe from President Gamble.
Right. There's a letter, a memorandum from the Alliance to President Gamble on the remaining details. And I'll get that out.
thought you were talking about.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry. So Staff Alliance passed a letter saying, you know, we like the overall concept of GPA, but there are other little issues. And so those are on his desk, and hopefully there's no Board of Regents meetings this summer. The first one, the next one is a phone conversation, is audio only with the President and the Board of Regents, and then in September. So these proposed changes might come in into the September Board of Regents meeting, but I'll certainly have conversations with him over the summer and on the details that we brought to him, and if there are any changes or concerns, I'll let you know.
Thanks, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to talk about the application? Well, I don't think Maria or Ashley are with us. If you don't, that's fine.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It was successful, right?
It was good, yeah. I heard very little. Everything that I heard was positive. I think from my perspective, it would be nice to engage some of the other departments on campus to help us with some of the logistics, some of the, you know, maybe the longevity awards. So I would propose that as something that we should look at. And I know some of the administration feels that way too, just, you know, maybe having HR a little bit more involved and having different pieces, you know, help with different pieces. So, Carolyn.
I also heard all of some complaints about the fact that the classes that people wanted to take were, by the time the notice came out to apply for the classes, they were already full. So I don't know. I realize that people that are doing these classes are limited in time also. But if there's any way we can work around that for next year, I think that would be advantageous.
Well, and the other challenge is that so many of them that I thought were full, I went to and
yes.
There was plenty of space. So what we have is a lot of no-shows. And
well, I think too. Didn't we change location for some of the
yeah.
So the room sizes probably changed also.
I did try to change the room sizes to reflect
the
equipment and the
room
signed up. But there were also a number of presenters that canceled us.
Yeah, at the last minute that day.
We just wanted to show us, but there is some
and similar. Issue with it is it's first come first serve.
Right.
If they respond right away, if someone responds right away to get into it, then I mean, even if it's an hour later, a class could have filled up because
exactly.
15 people said, "Yeah, I want to do that one."
Right.
So.
Yeah, the no-show issue, I think, was a significant issue because, you know, if there are people waiting to get in and only half the people show up, which is what happened in a couple of instances that I saw, that I don't know how we build that in, build a buffer zone or something, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not our wait list.
Yeah.
Well, and something else that we might, you know, might be a possibility is if we see immediately that there are classes that are in high demand, maybe see if we cannot offer that class again.
Mm-hmm.
Or look at last year's or the 2 years before, look at what classes filled up and figure out if we can do a second session or something.
Right.
And I do have a reference for this year.
Okay.
Some people found the two tracks a little bit challenging, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great idea, I think, but once you locked into one set of times, you were kind of trapped in that time zone until you were switching the afternoon.
No.
I don't know what the answer for that is either, because I still think it's a good idea, but it was just a comment.
It may be that one of the better things to do is go back and look at those times, and instead of the all-day offsets, most of the classes being the same and near the end, one being an hour long, one being an hour and 15 minutes long, or whatever the appropriate offset is, right before getting to lunch, because I understand that the reason that they wanted two tracks was to release people more slowly in the lunch so everybody wasn't just waiting around for it.
But in the lunch area, because I was there, and it was very smooth.
It was.
There was no line. I mean,
right,
it just went right
that
way.
That's why they
right.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
But 2 years ago, it was.
What we may also consider is potentially doing themed tracks. I mean, that's one of the possibilities. If you go to a lot of conferences, you'll see that they have maybe an administrative track, a very technical track, or some other breakdown of those so that you can more appropriately choose things that you care about. Maybe there could be an HR track that it's a day of HR training for the person who's really interested in that sort of material. Or maybe there's a technology track or a classroom instruction track being done instead. So.
Well, I know that as far as the food goes this year, the selection of food made a huge difference in the flow. Because last year they had trouble with the grill, they didn't get the grill going early enough, and then there was a backlog of people standing and waiting for food off of the grill, and the grill wasn't hot. And so it having the food that we had this year was a much better selection.
I think the Loyola Tilly staff actually did a really good job this year, too.
I do, too. I thought they were excellent.
Okay. Any other comments? Final comments with staff appreciation?
One we might think about is letting staff know that they can show up to a class, and if it's not filled, enter.
Yeah.
I had lots of people asking me questions, and I'm like, just go. If there's a room in there, go in.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of reluctance to do that from some people, too.
And there's only a few enough materials for everybody, but there's not that many classes like that, so that seems like
that. But we'll agree that those on the 18th, and I think that is important.
Great. Maybe combine some of the prizes into the shorter end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Want to have all the prizes? One T-shirt.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Related to that, one of the things that GVA did at their last one to kind of optimize that is that they selected maybe 20 people out of the hat for the prize, and then if they didn't find them, I mean, I don't know how we're doing it, I don't recall at least, they have to be present to win. You announce it, you say it three times, and you move on to the next one. There's a lot less time digging, so maybe that's a way that could be addressed as well.
So it's very difficult to hear in the lower part of Wood Center too. If you're up on the balcony, you can hear everything perfectly down below. It's hard to tell anything.
Logistically, I think there's even if you have a lot of stuff, I think there's, and it was a lot of the last minute. I know Brian did as she could, but having stuff up on Wood, I haven't been involved in that. I know there's a better way, and I think having lots of stuff does not mean it has to go on forever. More people get stuff, but so I don't think we should discourage, having a lot of door prizes, but just streamline the logistics a little more. So that it's, which means those people involved need to ask for a little more help from the rest of us. So,
in those couple of days before, go pretty quick.
I have a great idea. This one, a sticker. One.
Two.
You have one on the prize. You have one on the list. It's a lot easier to find than looking for number 532 when things aren't marked. So I think, I can see. I thought it was great, except for that. That it just, and be right in the middle of it. Not a fun place to be. Sorry. It was good, but it was a little frustrating for everybody, I think, that was trying to, get through it.
Yeah, good comment. So let's it would be nice to compile that, maybe ask Ashley or Maria to kind of compile a bunch of those comments for next year. And I will do that. Let's see. The only thing that we need to do is go through committee reports. So would people like to take a 5-minute break, or you want to just push through?
I'd rather take a break.
Okay, 5-minute break and be back at 10:30.
I just want to stand up. Yeah.
Yeah.
My calculator doesn't work.
All right.
I gave up on the calculator.
So he was said bye-bye to you?
I don't need that. I think I'm fine. Nobody resigned.
My goal is to make sure bank.
Okay.
And the money. Rough enough to get there.
I think Gary sounds like he can.
Yeah.
I think it's warmed up some a little bit, so you can.
It's not very good reception in here.
There's been no reception earlier.
Oh, you're talking about wireless
thing.
He got this call.
Talking about wireless?
What's that?
Can
I see that document again?
That's a good catch.
Yeah. I was just thinking about all the work I have not done in the past week, though.
Meeting tomorrow at table.
Where is he?
There's a new Monster drink that everybody's drinking. Not Monster as in the company, but that's what they're calling the drink. It's that spinach brew.
Oh, no, it is spinach, but it's not milk. No, it's just spinach and pineapple water.
We've done that in the past with the motion, yes.
That is part of it. You go on Pinterest and put in Monster, all you see.
I don't see anything.
So I'm just looking for about 8 months now. So, yeah, I don't pay attention to
anything. Well, I mean, don't we have to approve an action?
Spinach and pineapple.
Don't we have to approve an action taken? And doesn't this qualify as an action? If you want to rock the boat, go ahead. They can. I can be. What's the word? I can be booted mid-year because we didn't follow the rules.
You don't mind.
That's awesome. That's great.
No, I mean it.
Yeah.
Start getting
Oh, we got more going? Have we got some fires?
Not that I've heard, I just worry when we hear this year. But I feel like those 5 days of sunshine.
And lightning. Yeah. AB.
I don't know what the ounces and cups, but the one I was...
I'm traveling so much in July.
It really is. Good. Yeah.
Fourth of July home to Dad home. Mid-July for my birthday, going to Seattle and Vegas.
Nice.
And the end of July going to Oregon with Fred.
Oregon with Fred, okay.
Yeah.
Gotta keep it cold.
I just have one trip to the next.
Nice.
When are you going to Vegas?
Mid-July.
I'll be in Vegas. I mean, in Albuquerque on the 20th.
No.
Yeah.
Be back by then. That's when I'm going to Oregon.
For the library.
For the library. Okay.
Yes.
I do it.
Hey guys, let's get started.
I appreciate it. I know.
Yeah, for the rule.
Except my last moment of being able to use the gavel. Okay, I think we will just move on to internal committee reports. We have no guest speakers and no new business on this agenda. I always like to leave time for people who are part of the internal committee structure, our committees on staff council, to give reports if they so choose. I'm not sure if Mary Sue, are you still on the line? Do you want to talk about staff affairs? So I don't think Mary Sue is there. I'm not sure staff affairs has met this month, so I think.
Yes.
And Brad, or Brad, where's
I'm
Brad?
I'm over here.
Do you want to talk about rural affairs?
Sure, just real quick. I think that rural affairs did some good work this year. I'm thankful for everyone on the committee. I think the number one thing that I want to highlight is our work on geographic differentials. I admit that I have some doubts as to whether or not this will ever go anywhere, because I shouldn't have said that. Because I'm cynical about compensation changes happening at a UAF level, and that's all I'll say about that. But I think what we did was good. I'm hopeful that it will have some effect at the staff alliance level. I guess to explain some of my cynicism, it hasn't yet, and it's been a few months, but part of that is what's been going on with the compensation working group and it not meeting as much. So hopefully that will change. Otherwise, we'll be meeting again in the fall, and encourage anyone who would be interested to come attend one of our meetings or send one of us an email. And yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Brad. Walker?
Okay. I have listed here my annual committee report as the attachment, so I'm not going to go into too much detail there. I think EMR, though, has a really big job before it to look at ways that we can reorganize. And I realize that no way that we propose is going to be complete and everybody's going to love it, but it's going to be one of those things where we're really trying to look at the more holistic picture and make sure that representation occurs at all levels for all parties, and that's not exactly the easiest task unless we say that everybody is their own representative to staff council and go the whole fully democratic route. But I don't think everybody has that much time. So hopefully what we come out with will be kind of useful. I think we've had kind of a packed year. If you're interested, please read through the committee report for what we've done. I have an on-the-floor motion that I want to make, though, since we've gotten here and I forgot to do it earlier, related to the elections. I wanted to move to ratify the election results for president and vice president, just to make sure that no technicality comes up and anyone's worried in the future. So I'd like to move to ratify the election results for president and vice president.
Second. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, I think we'll take a formal vote. All in favor of ratifying the election for this year, please raise your hands in the room. And say aye on the phone.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to ratifying the election, please raise your hand in the room.
Okay.
Please say nay on the phone. The
Morse code.
Did you read that?
Thank you.
Is that made in Morse or not?
So with that, we have completed the election. So thank you, Walker,
And I have no further comments.
Okay.
A little report there, but I have to say I'm trying to get. Yeah, I've got a few notes down for.
Hey, can you speak more into the mic, please?
Hold on,
yep.
We need to get one.
Can you mute your phones? We're hearing a lot of typing or something.
Sounds like someone's canceling checks.
Yep.
This pertains to you, Robin. No. I've already got some good ideas from today, I think, on some things we can do to ramp up the advocacy committee's activities. Still would love to have members to help us do that. So I put that call out there. I will try to send an email out to all of our reps and really encourage them to participate with us. And that's about all I have, so I think.
Okay, thanks. And is there anybody who would like to present an external committee report? We've tried to attach what we have to the minutes, but if there's somebody that would like to speak, this is your time.
I did want to make a couple of comments on these external committees as they belong to Staff Alliance. They come out of the Staff Alliance committee. The healthcare committee, as a reminder, it has a significant number. Let me kind of back up a minute. Staff Alliance is made up of 8 people, and they are generally the officers from each campus, council, and statewide. So a significant portion of the staff healthcare committee are actual members of Alliance. PIPS and I this year designated 2 people other than ourselves to serve on the staff healthcare committee. That could change. It's possible that, for example, Claudia might want to tackle the staff healthcare committee and be a member. Myself, I fully intend on not doing that. But as chair of Alliance, I will need to be more actively involved in paying attention. Also, the other thing I wanted to point out is I fully intend on running for chair of Staff Alliance again at the August retreat. We currently have 6 returning members. 2, Claudia will be new, and then the vice president for the statewide will be new, whoever it is. But the 2 UA Southeast members and the 2 UA Anchorage members are returning. Monique as president of statewide and myself as president of staff council will be returning. So in any case, just as a heads up, the membership on these committees comes from the membership of Staff Alliance, and so if you're interested in continuing to serve Kat and Carolyn, Maria and Mary Sue, please let me know so that in the course of our conversations about divvying up workloads, we know who's available and willing to serve in those roles. I would, and I'm also speaking to the Staff Alliance Compensation Committee. I intend on a new chair, if I'm elected chair of Staff Alliance, new chair for the Compensation Committee. My hope is that we can take the healthcare task force out of the box thinking and apply it to compensation for staff. So my goal, and one whether or not I'm chair, remain chairs of Staff Alliance, my goal at the retreat is to push that agenda. Let's put together a group and let's really come up with some solutions based on the work that was done this past year. Let's come up with some full-fledged, fully thought-out solutions and take those straight to the Board of Regents, not just President Gamble. I have been throughout this past year planting seeds with the Board of Regents about recognizing staff and so on, and I intend now to harvest those seeds, I hope. At the statewide level, on looking at other ways to compensate staff. I hope also you're all grounded in the reality. I don't know if you heard the sucking in of air that Chancellor Rogers did when I said 5.5%. And Gary, that is a good solution. You were talking about matching for
Well, the match is 50%, 50%.
Yes, and he interpreted it related to tuition.
Well, I was meaning it, if you're only going to ask for limited, we're going to limit our tuition, then we're saying we're limiting here, but legislature, we're trying to meet this need.
Right.
We need some help. Don't just 50% fund our raises.
Right. Exactly. So I think what you guys need to be prepared for in the fall is some heavy lifting. 5.5% is a heavy lift. It's going to be a heavy lift. PIPS has, and this group has broken new ground in fast communications and getting the word out. And I think I would like to call the admin committee together this August, you know, very much prior to our first meeting, so we can set some strategies and talk about it. We have an election year. You know, we have opportunities to get the word out and really make some changes with this. And we have concerns about, I have concerns about the FY14 budget. So I think we need to rearrange priorities with President Gamble. It's not about new programs. It's not about new buildings. It's about valuing your people, the one thing that hasn't been recognized in quite a while. So maybe we can convince him to realign his priorities a little bit. I heard some interesting words out of our chancellor, and I think we can capitalize on them. So in any case, that's on the external committees. I have somewhat of a report from the compensation committee, and I'll use it as, an impetus out of the August president's retreat, and then as a heads up to everybody on those.
Thanks, Joelle. Any other external committee reports that people would like to speak about? If not, then we'll move to ad hoc committee. We've already talked about Staff Appreciation Day. John, do you want to say anything about communications?
Reports in there. And I think I really like to take an opportunity to thank you all for being on the committee. We're going to lose Potty and could use a couple more other members.
Okay.
A lot of
good work this year, though, too. So I feel like we've made a good step forward, and it'll be fun to see what next year brings.
Actually, maybe this would be a better time because it'll be on the record. I was going to suggest that one of the things when I talk to a lot of folks is some folks are getting like the highlights of the meeting out really quickly to their folks, and others aren't able to do so. I was going to suggest that we actually ask at the meeting for a volunteer to do some quickie highlights, get them to John as chair of communications committee. Communications committee could then get them formatted in a common format and get them out to all staff as a way of kind of speeding up the process and taking the load off. And that way everybody could share the load. So just a suggestion, and I talked to John. We did a newsletter before. Yeah, it could be that format, something where you post it and you need a quick note to the staff that just, you know, list the titles of each things, and then they can go for more detail to the newsletter. Something that doesn't overwhelm people, but leads them in.
Well, I think it's along the lines of the things that we've been talking about of having maybe a communications officer at some point, so it seems like that's a nice step toward that. So, Gary, are you offering to?
No, I'm not, actually, this time. I usually do it at length, but I was going to let someone else have a chance.
So, if somebody interested in doing that? Summarizing the meeting and passing it on to John for dispersal.
Debbie's almost nodding over there.
I'm just trying to decide if I could not know.
Are you talking about somebody to do it consistently or somebody for
two? No, somebody for each meeting.
I have a slight concern, which I guess is probably mostly technical. My understanding was the communications committee was, you know, as an ad hoc committee that was meant to sort of look at ways how we communicate and come up with recommendations, not necessarily to do communication. I'm not saying this is a bad idea per se, but it seems like that's actually not quite what the communications committee was supposed to be for. Like, it wasn't, let's review communication so that we are in charge of, you know, how things get communicated. It was more like, how can we improve communications? Like I said, I don't know, that's probably maybe a little too nitpicky of me.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, Brad. And it seems like maybe coming up with something a little more solid than just having somebody
know, volunteer to do this and a little more thought out. I love the idea, but maybe in just thinking about it in a broader context of where we want to go with communication, and do we want to have a communications officer, and how is it relating to the proposed changes that we've made? I don't know. If nobody's willing to kind of jump in right now, then maybe it does take a bigger conversation. With kind of being related to more of the things that we're
talking about. Well, you're talking about it being as a rotation, like this meeting, like decide before the meeting starts. So, who's going to actually become that responsible for this one meeting? Get that information out. I mean, I prefer not to this one. I didn't start the meeting on time, so. But yes, I think that we could arrange for that at the beginning of every meeting that we know who's going to be responsible for that.
Quick question, what's the difference between that and the minutes?
Well, with the way Nicole's been doing it, the minutes have been very detailed, and really we can go back and track like almost conversations. I mean, they've been very, very detailed. So I think what we're suggesting is something that
highlights
shorter, just highlights a one-pager that can go out and let staff know within a day or two what the major issues are and where we stand on them.
Right, because we don't want to release the minutes until they've been approved by the body. So this is a highlights that would go out, like you said, within a day or two.
They're too detailed for most folks.
Yeah.
But the highlights are available, but they're not available.
I've always found that about the important aspects of what really resonated with you and how it resonates with your, what you think is going to resonate with your unit. And so I think those highlights are going to be across the board, but some things, it's in the minutes and they have access to it, but they're not necessarily things that are pertinent that we want a response back. Right. The highlights that I've sent out to my unit this past year and that Debbie sent out are really have been about the what we want to hear about right now, and here's new hot button issues. And so we've really been trying to, for individual units, if we're talking about applying what all of us do for our unit communication and having one person do it, we have to kind of address this for at least a moment, what it is we're really looking into that. And for me, it's only been like two or three issues.
So maybe this is an agenda item for the communications group in August. And your comments and participation would be much appreciated because maybe what we do come out with is a format that we can, we all agree on. For example, it's information items and it's action items. We need your action on these things or it's a modification of the newsletter kind of thing. So, but yeah, I think it would be good if the communications group met in August and then came up with a plan and shared it at the first council meeting for input and so on.
It would be nice to. I appreciate your comment, Gary. It would be nice to get something out, and have a plan for that. And we've talked about it several times. So coming up with something more concrete, I would appreciate too. Okay. So with that, I think we'll move on.
I'm sorry, Madam President. I have one last action item for this group. I would like to introduce for this group's consideration a resolution of recognition and appreciation for PIPS.
Oh.
I have a draft I'd like to share with you with your comments and then your approval. Whereas PIPS VZ served as president of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Staff Council from June 2011 through June 2012, and whereas PIPS served as a strong representative voice for the University of Alaska Fairbanks staff and staff system-wide through service on UAF Staff Council, UAF Governance Coordinating Committee, UA System Governance Council, and UA Staff Alliance. And whereas PIPS VZ strove to uphold the position of staff governance within the university system, and whereas PIPS worked tirelessly to make the UAF Staff Council and the role of staff council representatives more prestigious and more meaningful to all, and whereas PIPS has proposed innovative solutions while encouraging discussion and working towards consensus, and whereas PIPS improved the efficiency and effectiveness of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Staff Council meetings while ensuring time for the expression of all opinions and concerns, and whereas PIPS maintained an open discussion on all staff issues and considered all staff positions prior to making decisions, now therefore be it resolved that the University of Alaska Fairbanks Staff Council acknowledges the exemplary contributions of PIPS VZ and extends its gratitude to her as she concludes her term as president. I open the floor for discussion and or a second.
To approve.
Second.
Second.
Well, thank you all very much. That was completely unexpected. Thank you, Joel. And this certainly is not a reflection on me. It's a reflection on all of you. And I feel like I was just somebody that could keep the wheels rolling and make sure that things were moving forward. But certainly, all the work has taken place, you know, through everybody else around the table. So it's been a great year, and thank you for your support and all the work that you've all done to make this a better place to be. And so with that, slightly.
Madam President, there's still a motion on the floor.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Passes unanimously. Okay, I'm totally embarrassed, so thank you. Thank you, Joel. That's very, very nice. Thank you all. So with that, we will move to roundtable discussion. So if you want to hit the non-record button.